Hello, and welcome to morning prayer at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Edison, New Jersey. I thank God that we are able to be together in prayer this morning. This is Monday, and we're in the sixth week of the Easter season. Easter is not just one day, but a season made up of a week of weeks. This week, we are going to finish up our reading of the Acts of the Apostles, and today we hear how Paul exercises his right to appeal to Caesar to judge the case. Please feel free to send me an email with any stories or insights or questions that might arise this week. You can send them to me at pastorjim2006@icloud.com. And now we begin our time of prayer in silence. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, O God, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Praise to the blessed and holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God who gives life, salvation, and resurrection. Alleluia. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. O come, let us worship and praise. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to the Lord with psalms. For you, Lord, are a great God and a great ruler above all gods. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. In your hands are the caverns of the earth. The heights of the hills are also yours. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture and the sheep of God's hand. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. You have been born anew through the abiding word of God. A reading from Acts, chapter 25. So Festus arrived in the province, and after 3 days he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. The high priests and the leading men of the Jews appeared before him, laying charges against Paul and putting a request to him. They wanted him to do a special favor for them and against Paul by sending him to be brought to Jerusalem. They were making a plan to kill him on the way, but Festus answered that he was keeping Paul at Caesarea and that he himself would shortly be going back there. So he said, "Your officials should come down with me, and they can put any accusation of wrongdoing that they may have against the man." He stayed with them for a few days, about 8 or 10, and then went down to Caesarea. On the next day, he took the seat at the tribunal and ordered Paul to be brought to him. When he appeared, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem surrounded him and hurled many serious accusations at him, which they were not able to substantiate. Paul made his response, "I have offended neither against the Jews' law nor against the temple, nor against Caesar. Festus, however, wanted to do a favor for the Jews. Tell me," he said to Paul in reply, "how would you like to go up to Jerusalem and be tried by me about these things?" "I am standing before Caesar's tribunal," said Paul, "which is where I ought to be tried. I have done no wrong to the Jews, as you well know. If I have committed any wrong, or if I have done something which means I deserve to die, I'm not trying to escape death, but if I have done none of the things that they are accusing me of, nobody can hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar." Festus consulted with his advisors. "You have appealed to Caesar," he said, "and to Caesar you shall go." After some days, King Agrippa came to Caesarea with Bernice to greet Festus. They spent several days there, and during the time Festus put to the king the whole matter of Paul and the case against him. "I have a man here," he said, "who was left by Felix as a prisoner. When I was up in Jerusalem, the chief priests and the Jewish elders came before me and asked to pass sentence on him. My response was that it was not our Roman custom to hand over anyone until the accused had had his chance to take look his accusers in the face and make his defense against the charges. So they came down here. I didn't postpone the business, but I sat in court the next day and commanded the man to be brought. His accusers stood there and brought charges, but not the sort of wrongdoing that I had been expecting. It turned out to have to do with various wranglings concerning their own religion and about some dead man called Jesus, whom Paul asserted was alive. I simply didn't know what to do about all this dispute, and so I asked him if he would like to go up to Jerusalem and be judged there about these things. But Paul then appealed for his case to be sent up to his majesty. So I gave the order that he should be kept under guard until I can send him to Caesar. I should like to hear this man for myself, said Agrippa to Festus. Very well, said Festus. You shall do so tomorrow. On the next day, Agrippa and Bernice came with great ceremony, and they entered the audience chamber. With them came the tribunes and the leading men of the city. Festus gave the order, and Paul was brought in. King Agrippa, said Festus, and all of you assembled here, you see this man. The whole multitude of the Jews appealed to me about him, both in Jerusalem and here. They shouted that it wasn't right to let him live, but I found that he had done nothing to deserve death. Since he himself appealed to his majesty, I decided to send him. I don't have anything definite to write to our Lord and Master about him, and so I brought him here to you, and particularly before you, King Agrippa, so that I may know what to write once we have had a judicial hearing. There seems to me no sense to be sending a prisoner without giving some indication of the charges against him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If for some reason we were under the impression that church and politics should be separated and never mixed, or that somehow in some way God didn't want to get dirty by becoming involved in politics, then this chapter of Acts might change our mind. There's plenty of political maneuvering going on in this chapter, and it's worth noting the way in which the Holy Spirit is at work in all of this, fulfilling, first of all, Jesus' promise that the apostles will bear witness to Jesus before kings and the rulers of the earth. When the chapter opens, there is now a new Roman governor on the scene. And wanting to do a favor and build relationship with the local leaders, Festus tries to find a way to hand Paul over to the high priests. Meanwhile, the high priest's assassins continue their plot to kill Paul. Yet in spite of all this, there is the problem of due process. Both Roman law and Jewish law demand that a person be formally accused of a crime and then given a chance to present a case in defense face-to-face against his accusers. The high priest party cannot substantiate any charge against Paul, and Paul himself asserts his innocence on all counts. Since the matter seems to Festus to be an inter-Jewish argument, he tries to change the venue and somehow bring Paul to trial in Jerusalem again. Paul, however, counters with an argument saying that this really is a matter for Roman justice, and to reinforce the matter, Paul appeals to Rome, to Caesar, as is his right, and Festus consents. So what do you think? Is this a matter to be decided in Jewish court according to God's law, or a matter for Roman court to decide? We can certainly see why Paul appeals to Rome. There is no hope for a fair trial before his countrymen, and what's more, assassins wait to take matters into their own hands before he even makes it again before to Jerusalem. Outside of the law, they are acting on their own vows. Very similar, the mob in Ephesus earlier in Acts, these Jewish zealots are now playing a dangerous kind of game. Though they feel justified in their outrage against Paul and impatient with any kind of proper legal proceedings, they are not justified in becoming either a mob or a band of assassins. In fact, such ongoing action leads further and further to Roman oppression until finally their whole country will explode not more than a decade beyond this. And even though there are definitely subversive aspects to the gospel that Paul preaches, at the same time, Paul himself will remind us that those who govern do so by God's will and authority. Those who govern may be unjust or corrupt. They may need to be resisted. They may need to be reminded of their obligation to provide justice. But parties of assassins, mobs of rioters, those who wish to pervert justice with lies and half-truths to serve their own purposes are going to be on the wrong side. While we owe our ultimate allegiance to Jesus Christ and are bound to observe and obey his commandments, we also thank God for the gift of good government, of true and just judges, and all that witnesses to the simple fact that our God is a God of order and not of chaos, a God who seeks to bring justice, mercy, and love, a God who always gives us a chance to be heard and then acts in his own justice. Amen. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Blessed are you, Lord, the God of Israel. You have come to your people and set them free. You have raised up for us a mighty Savior born of the house of your servant David. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. Through your holy prophets, you promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our forebears, to remember your holy covenant. This was the oath you swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship you without fear, holy and righteous before you all the days of our life. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way, to give God's people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Mighty God of mercy, we thank you for the resurrection dawn, bringing the glory of our risen Lord who makes every day new. Especially, we thank you for the sustaining goodness of your creation, for good government, for just rulers, for honest courts, for the new creation in Christ and for all gifts of healing and forgiveness, for the gift of relationship with others, for the communion of faith in your church. For what else are we thankful? Merciful God of might, renew this weary world, heal the hurts of all your children, and bring about your peace for all in Christ Jesus, the living Lord. Especially today, we pray for those who govern the nations of the world, that they would do so with justice and with mercy. For peoples in countries ravaged by strife and warfare, that you would bring order and peace. For all who work for peace and international harmony, for all who strive to save the earth from carelessness and destruction, and for the Church of Jesus Christ in every land, that it may bear witness to you and do so with love and humility. For what else or for who else do we pray today? Almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power that we may not fall into sin nor be overcome in adversity. In all we do, direct us to fulfilling your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God.